A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Oregon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Tax time isn't too far away, right? Check in with your local banker, whether it's Horicon or anyone else. Make sure you have all those statements and make sure you got the right rates and you get everything organized. Your bankers are here to help you. So you look at universities across the country and across the state. How are they rethinking game days and campus life and wellness? They want to make sure that students belong, whether they drink or they don't drink, whether they're in recovery or they're just rethinking their relationship with alcohol. These are some pretty big questions, and Marquette's really leaned into this conversation with its campus recovery program. Also, a brand new wellness and health fair recreation facility that's changing kind of the daily rhythm on campus, full of creative ideas with sober tailgates, with the Brewers and with the Bucks. More on the way, too. They're looking to September and this biggest sober tailgate yet at American Family Field. Marquette's doing some pretty innovative things when it comes to alcohol, no alcohol, and recovery. Opening day right around the corner. So we're going to talk to Dr. Kimo Ayun and Tim Raybolt, who is the manager of the campus recovery programs on campus. They'll talk through what sports and recovery and kind of the rise of NA options on campus looks like. I'm really looking forward to another great discussion with Kimo and looking forward to meeting Tim as well. I got a couple things on my mind, though. As we do at the beginning of every show, we're going to go.
Now it's time for the
two
up on the upswing.
First up, Domes Momentum. Indeed, yes. Very exciting. The long-awaited redevelopment of Milwaukee's iconic Mitchell Park Domes is gaining even more momentum. $51.6 million first phase, which includes public funding. It's moving ahead with preliminary renovation plans now filed for one of the three famous glass domes on South Layton Boulevard. Construction is expected to start in spring of 2027. Meanwhile, the Domes Alliance, which is the nonprofit behind this entire effort, has entered the quiet phase of fundraising for this campaign. Everything's got to come together. Like all these big projects, you got to have the nonprofits, the for-profit entities, the business leaders, and then the government entities. The three have to be aligned. The CEO tells JS Online that fundraising, at least initially, is going very well. It's a good sign for sure. It's one of Milwaukee's most prominent landmarks. You can watch for a presentation and an update for the entire project. There'll be a presentation in June to the Milwaukee County Board of Parks and Culture at Milwaukee County. Second up, Mandy 2026 is going to be number 27. 2026 is number 27. The Milwaukee Awards for Neighborhood Development and Innovation, known as the Mandys, they recognize the individuals and the organizations and the projects that enrich Central City neighborhoods right here in Milwaukee. This year marks year 27 for the awards, and the link is now live to make nominations. It's produced by the Local Initiative Support Corporation, LISC Milwaukee, presented by U.S. Bank. The Mandys highlight all the innovation in our neighborhoods, all the innovation that goes right to the heart of quality of life, expanding opportunity, and driving community development all across the country. If you have leaders, if you have projects you're working on, maybe you're on a board, go to mandyawards.org and place a nomination. Nominations are open now through April 16th. Primary impact areas and populations served must be within the city of Milwaukee limits. The winner for each category is announced at a big in-person event, which is an amazing event, just always truly inspirational. The Mandy celebration will be on August 13th, 2026. Nominations are now open. Your brackets may be busted, but I gotta just showcase what's right and wrong when you present me with all your goodness, maybe on your Facebook page for your brackets. You look at the AP style guide on what is right, on how you should present March Madness. It's always capitalized. So make sure all references to the yearly college basketball championships for men and women are capitalized with two M's. Both terms are capitalized in NCAA tournament as well. So when you put tournament, make sure you have that capital T. That's acceptable in all references to the National Collegiate Athletic Association's championships. All right? I want to make sure you got this right. And then the capitalized popular names that are acceptable from an AP style standpoint, you're going to post about it. I want to make sure you got it right. Sweet 16 for regional playoffs. Elite 8. Both of those E's are capitalized. Elite 8 for the regional finals. And then we get to the final. Final 4, it's always capitalized for the national semifinals.
It's time for Marquette on the Move with Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayun on The Upswing.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman in studio. Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayun. Joining Kimo is Tim Raybould, the Campus Recovery Programs Manager. We're going to get to Tim a bit later in the show. But first, one of the fun challenges of being an urban institution is, sometimes things happen on campus. Last month, we talked about the beautiful renovations at the Church of Jesus at Marquette University. This week, news, unfortunately, that the church was vandalized just a few months after completing a $10 million renovation. Dr. Ayun, do you have an update? And have you had a chance to survey the damage at Jesus?
What we're fortunate is that it was minimal enough that operation gets to continue. But I think any time a space like that is violated, that's unfortunate. Yeah. It's a great space for us to be able to have on campus, as you know.
Yeah. Built in 1849, too, which is like 3 years before the city became a city. So, I mean, just the tradition and the legacy and the beauty there, it's so important.
And I would say if there's anybody out there who hasn't had the chance yet to be in that space since it reopened in November as the result of the renovation, I would encourage everyone to go and see the space. It is phenomenal and just incredible place to go in and kind of be in the presence of others and to worship and just to be closer to God.
All right. I wanted to pivot a little bit into college basketball tournament. We're all watching our brackets a couple days into the tournament here. But this year, Marquette isn't in the field, which, as an alum, you're a little saddened. Yeah. I know I am, but it's still fun. So how does it land for you personally, Kimo? What do you say to students and alums who just maybe a little disappointed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the highest level, we are so proud of Shaka. We're proud of the team. They want to be playing as more than anyone else, I think, out there. They want to be playing in March. Unfortunately, this year it didn't work out that way. What I would tell people is look where we've been. I mean, Shaka has been incredibly successful since he has come to Marquette University. And, universities have years where it's a roller coaster. Yeah. I have no doubt, given the kind of person he is and his legacy of success in basketball throughout his career, that he will ensure Marquette's in the best position moving forward.
Do you see rise and fall with applications, obviously visibility, philanthropy, and just campus energy, if you will, when teams are in the tournament?
In a single year, no, we don't see any impact on applications. I mean, luckily, people know Marquette. I think it gets on their radar because of athletics for some. Yeah. But in any given year, we're not going to see a significant change. This year, we actually have a record number of applications in the last decade. Okay. So that's a great thing that even in spite of where we are in March, students still want to come to Marquette. It brings energy, right? In March, when people are filling out their brackets, they like to be able to circle Marquette and have them going all the way to the finals and winning it all.
still looks great with the banners hanging from the light posts as you go through campus. So it tells that, hey, March is here, and that's a good thing. You were at the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. Tell us a little bit about the Big East undergraduate research symposium that you participated in.
Yeah, so, you know, I participate in the Big East, and a few years ago, I think it was 6 years ago now, we asked the question, how can we better highlight the academics of all of our great universities? And so we created, with the Big East, this research symposium where our students go and compete. And they do research with their faculty, and then they come, and a handful are selected from each university, five groups from Marquette University, five from each of the 11 universities. And so these students come, present their research, and just showcase like the amazing work that they're doing. Marquette has done well this year. One of our students came in third place in one of the categories. Nice. A couple years ago, they came in first place. So it's really a testament to all of our faculty continuing to work with our students and give them that high impact practice.
We're joined in studio by Marquette President Dr. Kimo Ayun and Tim Raybould from the Campus Recovery Programs. Tim, want to pivot a little bit to what you do each and every day. And again, appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be here. So for fans and listeners that don't know you yet, what's your role in supporting students at Marquette?
Yeah, with recovery at Marquette, we're kind of there for students who are pursuing sobriety or maybe already in recovery from drug and alcohol use. So it's kind of an umbrella where we have a core program called a collegiate recovery program, which is really the support service for students. But there's also awareness events and other programming we do to kind of amplify sobriety and recovery messaging on campus.
Okay. And you were the first executive director at the Association of Recovery in Higher Education, and that was an umbrella organization working with colleges and universities across the country?
Yeah, Canada, UK too. Yeah, it's been around almost 20 years. Marquette's a member. They have a conference every year. Yeah, kind of like the membership association for that field.
So from a recovery standpoint, what are you seeing nationally in terms of need and stigma and support? And we're going to talk about some specific initiatives locally after the break, but what are you seeing in terms of need right now?
Yeah, I think they are wanting more on-campus supports. I remember when I first went to college out in D.C., and I said I was a student in recovery. I got sober in high school, and they said, well, here's some AA meetings to go to. Mm-hmm. And I think students are wanting more on-campus kind of wraparound services so they can have this recovery experience within the larger experience that they're having at college. I think there is less stigma, but it's still, present in different social circles. But at Marquette, I feel like it's so invested in wellness and wellness forward that, you know, our students feel like really supported and they're comfortable being out about their recovery, which is really cool.
Listening to The Upswing, WTMJ. When we come back, we're going to talk about college and drinking culture a little bit. And also, opening day, just a couple next week, actually. I'm already a week ahead in my mind here. But sober tailgates, a big thing, not only at Marquette, but across many ballparks. So I want to talk about what you're doing there, Tim. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Marquette on the Move. Dr. Kimo Ayun and Tim Raybould join us in studio. I want to talk a little bit about college and just the drinking culture. Tim, I know, you know, your work with campus recovery around language and culture is really strong, but is it about, you know, I'm sober, I'm in recovery, drinking isn't just my thing? Because the reality is, drinking at colleges is a thing. So how do you get past that in your one-on-one work with students?
Yeah. I think we let that be and, you know, don't try and be anti-whatever, anti-drinking, and just let's focus on recovery and amplifying that, making that more normal of a process, and also educating the community that it's different for everyone. You know, someone might just lean into a 12-step program and find everything they need there, and then others might need different kinds of support. So I think we really lean into that piece. As our capacity and bandwidth increases over time. We'll probably do more with the like the sober curious community. Okay. But yeah, a lot of our focus right now is the students who are identifying as in recovery.
And Dr. Ayun, how important is it to have a formal recovery community on campus? And how does it impact the ability for the students to learn and go about their days?
Yeah, it's incredibly important. You know, we talk about transforming the lives of our students, and we cannot do that unless we can keep them at Marquette for as long as possible, 4 years, so they end up with a degree. And, you know, I've talked to students who say, I would not be able to persist but for this specific program. So the fact that we can give them the support, we can keep them there, but more importantly, provide life skills for them. Because what they learn here, it's going to help them for the next 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of their life, right? However long they're around. And when we do a good job, we lead them to a place that they're going to lead the most happy and successful life that they are able to live.
Yeah. I mean, with opening day right around the corner, you know, Marquette's embraced sober tailgates with the Brewers at National Marquette Day about a month ago. You're planning a big tailgate in September, I know. Tell us about those and just the story behind the idea, Tim.
Yeah, it was a convergence of a few things, but we took our students a year ago, you know, just about, and we did group tickets, and I was just kind of looking through the different benefits if you do different levels, and I was like, whoa, if you do 1,000 tickets, you can do a lot of stuff. You get first pitch if it's available
in
right. the game, and I was like, that would be powerful. I also knew that we weren't as organized of a city in terms of the recovery community as other cities I've been in and lived in, like Minneapolis, for example. They were doing, they had their 20th kind of recovery night with the Twins, and we didn't have anything like that. So it started there, and then with some conversations on campus and funders, folks in the community of, can we do this? And then we did.
Yeah. I mean, do you see students who do drink and are of age showing up to the sober tailgate events, or is it a this or that scenario?
National Marquette Day was a perfect example. We right when it started at 11, droves of students decked out in Marquette gear, loud, Iggy came, they're taking photos, dancing, grabbing food, confetti's going off. I mean, it was a party. And I think that's what students are looking for. That was kind of our hypothesis. It was like, you know, do students really want to drink in excess, or do they really want to party and have this like loud experience? But can we do that with this sober environment? And I think it was a success.
Yeah. Yeah. I give up alcohol every year for Lent. And I don't drink as much as I used to. Not like I drink a ton anyway, but the rise of NA beers and mocktails at stadiums and games and on campuses is real. You know, from your vantage point, Tim, and your recovery work, how do you see these trends? Is it a positive, or is it a, ooh, this is just a replacement? Like, how do you see that from a product mix?
Oh, total positive. I mean, it's the same. The caveat is that everyone's individual recovery is different, like we were saying. And so some, their sobriety path or journey, whatever it is, even if they don't identify as in recovery, might be enhanced by these options. Others, it can be a slippery slope where, you know, they're doing great, but then they try an NA beer. It reminds them of those times where they
were drinking. You don't want it to be triggering, if you will, right?
Yeah, but overall, I think it's great, and hopefully it leads to more embracement of, you know, sober sections or sobriety spaces or recovery nights and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Ayun, Marquette has a relationship with Thursday Space Brewing Company for Marquette beer. A portion of those proceeds are funneled into athletics. Any plans down the road for NA beers and other beverages that would kind of
we're open to raise all new ideas. You know, the interesting thing is I'll put a plug in here for Luba Mocktails.
All right.
It's pick it up at your local Syndics.
Okay, all right.
It's an alum who created a line of mocktails so that you know, students and non-students have an alternative. And now that you say that, right? Next time I see Christiana and Nick, I'll have to talk to them about whether or not there might be some possibility to be able to collaborate and coordinate and find something.
Very good. Ideas happening right here on the upswing. That's what it's all about, entrepreneurship and community building. I want to do a bunch of other topics with both of you. Dr. Ayoun, Marquette's rolling out some guidance on responsible AI and recommended tools for not only faculty, but for students. What's your vision for where AI fits into the classroom and into campus operations as a whole?
Yeah, you know, I'd first start with, we have a group called the International Association of Jesuit Universities, and they met a few months ago and talked about AI. And they talked about Jesuit Universities has a responsibility to be on the front end of leading AI. We have to think about ethically, how do we employ it, and where should we employ it, and what's the right way to do it, right? We're called to be men and women for and with others. How can AI help us to better achieve our mission? And in fact, their conclusion would be as it can strengthen, not hinder our ability to fulfill our mission. But with that being said, I think there are faculty who are finding different ways to do it. You know, I talked to some of our dental students earlier this week at a research symposium, and they were talking about how they're using it to be able to figure out how to best deal with challenges with one's teeth and fillings. And I talked about some of our researchers who are focusing on cancer research and figuring out how do you take large amounts of data and synthesize it so it helps to direct what the solution is. It doesn't give you the solution, but it begins to be able to help find some patterns that then you have to think about whether or not these patterns make sense and how you engage them.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to, you know, have the body of research and the right prompts going into it, but with the overall arching appeal that, hey, we're doing this in an ethical manner that supports everyone. Tim, what's your day-to-day AI use, if I may ask?
Not much. Maybe here and there to get some creative ideas or if we need new topics for a recovery meeting, but not too much.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to look at the job hunt with current students right now, get an idea through the president's lens, what the students are hearing and seeing. You look at 2025 graduates from Marquette, 87% career outcomes. Within the first 6 months, they're landing where they want to be. And that's pretty consistent with past years. But is this year any different? Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayoun and Tim Raybould, Campus Recovery Program Manager. Tim, Kimo, always appreciate your time. We're getting closer to graduation day, and I wanted to get your insights, Dr. Ayoun, in terms of your day-to-day discussions with students and what their job hunt is looking like.
Yeah, you know, exciting part. I always say it's one of my most favorite times of the year when we get to see the fruits of the labor that our students have put in. You know, like anything, right? It depends on where they are, what market they're going into. But looking for answers, I mean, luckily we've had success in getting our students employment. You know, we're sixth in the country in long-term success of our students getting jobs. The fact that we, you know, educate people holistically with a strong liberal arts foundation allows them to be flexible. But like anything, until you lock that job down, you're worried.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, because we really focus on internships and providing access, many of our students have pathways because they've been working through four different companies over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and there's this built-in community and alumni base that I'm hearing from students every day, and it's great. And I reach out to people maybe 10 years after my graduation time that I still connect with. So that community is real for sure.
Yeah, and I think about our our mentorship program, right? There's a wide body of students that are connected to that and alums, and they want to ensure Marquette students are successful. And when you pull together that power of a large community, it just works to the benefit of our graduating students.
Yeah. Tim, what's as you look through and talk to the students you're working with, what's a current class at Marquette that you'd want to take right now if you could?
Yeah, we have a good bit of nursing students. I don't think I would do well in those classes.
Okay.
But on our advisory board, we have Dr. Emily Kramer from the College of Communication, and she has a couple health communications courses, so I think that'd be my answer.
Dr. Ayoun, same question. A current a current course that you're like, all right, I'm gonna be a student in.
An Ignatian leadership class that we have through a program. It just, you know, that's who we are, and so being able to be part of that and understand how do we become a leader in a particular way.
One thing that you love learning from current students, Tim, like the generational differences, always real in any workplace, but especially on college campuses. What's something you're learning from Gen Z students right now that maybe surprises you?
A lot of new lingo. I learned some of those from your Instagram videos, too. But honestly, they...
And TikTok.
They seem very comfortable verbalizing values and boundaries with friends and family in a way that seems different than maybe some different.
What do you think that stems from? Just a different way of growing up, or
I don't know. Yeah, maybe more different influences over social media or you know, family dynamics. I'm not sure, but yeah, that's been a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, Dr. Irene, what surprises you?
Their definition of success is defined as the impact you are making on the world and how and the good you are doing, not how much money you make or what's your next promotion. Mm-hmm. And we can learn from that.
Yeah, I love that. And success, I think, from a community standpoint, is about recruitment and retention, and a big part of what this show is all about. If you're on an elevator, let's say, with an admitted family, and you got 30 seconds to really give the pitch about Milwaukee and Marquette, Tim, what do you say that stands out?
It ties right into that. They're like the different way they're looking at success. I would tell them in that short bit of time, like here at Marquette, you're going to have a clear path to finding meaning, finding a little bit of magic and momentum.
Yeah. Dr. Aaron?
Yeah, you're going to leave with a compass, an understanding of how you can serve the greater good and also be able to do the other things like go out and find productive work and find a job and do something that you love. But it will change your DNA, and that DNA will impact not only how you live your life, but how you help those that you come into contact with throughout your life.
Finally, looking at your brackets a couple days in, Tim, who do you have?
I'm going to take the easy way out and just, I think Arizona is so tested, I think they pull it out. I don't have any connections, okay. Gut instinct.
Kimo, you have some connections. You got a couple
schools in the tournament.
I'm still going to go
with Marquette. I don't know. I'm standing by Marquette. But I went to Michigan State, so in light of not being able to pick Marquette, I'm going to pick Michigan State in.
Very good. Appreciate both your time. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll do this again next month.
Thank you.
Is that coffee?
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index. Coffee
Index. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's have another cup of coffee. I'm ready. All right. I don't always go to the coffee shop by my house, but today I decided to. It's only like two blocks. It's an easy walk. Colativo and Shorewood. I did the 12-ounce coffee. It's $3.20 now. The good thing about the Village of Shorewood, we're not quite the city of Milwaukee, so only 6.4% tax, so only another 20 cents. So $3.40 for my 12-ounce regular coffee. Jas, you went somewhere fancy this morning, right?
Do you consider Vendetta Coffee fancy?
I do. It is a coffee bar. Yeah. Not that Colativo isn't fancy, but like Vendetta is kind of...
It is pretty highbrow, and I do appreciate it. It was you know, it was starting to warm up. I decided, you know what, I could walk. Also, the only coffee left in my house is decaf, so I got to refuel on that. But I paid $5.42 for a 16-ounce. But let me tell you, that coffee fueled me up this morning. So
$5.42. Okay, regular, straight up coffee.
Just regular, straight up.
Pour over.
Right. I think it was a pour-over. Single origin drip.
So a little bit more time on the Vendetta side. That's not too bad. All right. I like it. Vendetta Coffee right there in the beautiful Walker's Point neighborhood. Neighborhood development, always front and center here on the Upswing. By now, you probably heard that the Uke documentary will open the 2026 Milwaukee Film Festival. Learn more. Go on the podcast page at WTMJ.com. Look for Sandy Max's show. what's on tap. She's got all the information on the Uke documentary. But it's going to open the Milwaukee Film Festival on April 16th. Bunch of other spotlight presentations at this year's film festival, including The Big Cheese, a documentary set in kind of the high-pressure world of international cheesemongering. Closing Night is going to have the screening of Power Ballad, which stars Paul Rudd and Nick Jonas. That will conclude the festival on April 30th. But what I'm interested in with the film festival is you get the chance to walk the East Side neighborhood and really get a sense of what's opening, what's closing, what needs redevelopment. This year, right after opening night screening of Uke, the festival is inviting everyone to do a neighborhood East Side business walk. You get to see all the wonder of the beautiful East Side. You get to stop by the Oriental Theater. You're already seeing the movie there. But Von Trier, Landmark Lanes, The Wayfinder. There'll be a brand new Naughty Plates. I think that restaurant will be open on Farwell and North. All these places will have discounts if you're at the film festival. So it's a great opportunity to walk the East Side, to see what's new, to see what's exciting. Make sure you put the Milwaukee Film Festival on your list. Finally, I want to close this segment kind of relating to what we're just talking about. I saw in the Wall Street Journal that for the first time, American landlords are now leasing more space to service businesses than traditional stores that just sell products. You're probably going to see that on your walk around the East Side. There's a lot of salons, a lot of spas, a lot of medical, a lot of wellness clinics. No pickleball facilities. Those are big in a lot of neighborhoods for sure. But it's interesting to see. For the first time in leasing, landlords are saying, we have more service businesses than just traditional stores that are selling stuff, and that includes bars and restaurants. So kind of the big question is, moving forward, do we need more stores? How do we get more stores into our neighborhoods? Maybe an even better question, as we look at this from a community building standpoint, how do we program more services and more experiences into our buildings and to our districts? I give the Milwaukee Film Festival a big, big props for doing a neighborhood walk after a festival. That's the way you build retail and community at the same time. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Jazlyn, gotta ask you something. But let me set the scene for you first, all right? Okay. I have a little bit of an ethical dilemma here. So last Friday, as any good Milwaukeean should do, especially during Lent, went looking for a fish fry. Didn't have a whole lot of time, so we settled on a fish sandwich, which, you know, there's a lot of good fish sandwiches in the area. I was with my 13-year-old daughter. We ended up at Cops. Really easy, classic choice, right? I hadn't had the fish sandwich there in years. $6.75, by the way. Not too bad, not too expensive. So I ordered that. Our daughter got the grilled cheese. We grabbed a side order of onion rings. And then we got two scoops of the flavor of the day, which was Blue Moon, which, big bonus, because that's really rare. Oh, fantastic, yeah. Flavor. They don't offer it often, so... Now, if you know Cops, you order at the counter. Then they hand you a number, and then you go wait. They gave us our ice cream, though, right away. So we got two scoops of Blue Moon right away. So naturally, we kind of walked away, went to a table. We ate the Blue Moon and waited for our food. So about 10 minutes later, our number's called. We go up to the counter. We grab our bags of food, and the clerk hands us two bags and two more scoops of Blue Moon. So here's the dilemma. What do you do in that moment? We've already had the ice cream. Do you take the extra ones? Do you say something? What do you do? What do you do?
Do you want more ice cream is my question.
Well, yeah, that's funny. That's probably the first thing I thought about. I'm like, I don't need another scoop. But I also was thinking, I already got the scoop. I can't just take this.
No, that's true. And I feel like you could take it and maybe give it to someone else, but they're probably expecting their own ice cream. You could be honest, and if they give it back, and that if they still give it to you, say it's on the house, then maybe find someone who might want some ice cream.
That's true. I was a little worried if I would take it, and then the individual down the line that took our order would say, "Oh, I already gave him the scoop." So I was like, "All right." I told the clerk, "We already got our scoops." And he just kind of nodded and took them back and put them away. And now, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of thinking they might just give us the scoops for free because they were already there.
Right?
Is that bad? I don't know.
Well, sometimes you can say nothing. Like, who doesn't love free ice cream? But at the same time, if you don't need it, I guess don't eat it.
That is true. So, I don't know. A small good reminder that you kind of always got to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's offering to give you something that you had already gotten, especially on a Lenten Friday in Milwaukee, just say, you know what? We already got our scoops. I greatly appreciate it. We're going to have our fish sandwich and our grilled cheese and go about our way. All right. That was on Port Washington Road, the cops in Glendale. I got a little news on another thing coming to Port Washington Road. Just heard this week. 7 Brew. You've seen 7 Brew, those drive-through beverage brands. They literally dropped with a big crane, a new coffee stand on site this Wednesday in Glendale at 5265 North Port Washington Road. In the state of Wisconsin, there are now 14 open 7 Brew stands, 2 preparing to open in the city of Milwaukee, and this new Glendale one makes 17. So a lot of new drive-through coffee options, kind of the automated ones, definitely not only a trend, but are super convenient. So watch for that on Port Washington Road. Also watch for more 7 Brews across the state. I'm hearing from a contact that they have a bunch more announcements coming through the rest of the year. In other restaurant news, we like to keep you on top of community building. Reporting from the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rare Steakhouse on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, abruptly closed its downtown Milwaukee location at 833 East Michigan. And now its landlord has taken the owner to court. An affiliate of Ergen's Partners has filed a lawsuit alleging Rare's ownership, which is tied to financial advisor David Burrish, breached its lease by shutting down 4 years before the agreement was set to end. The closure comes after about a decade that they've been a real high-profile tenant in that beautiful lakefront tower. So the complaint seeks damages and enforcement of lease terms as Ergens looks to protect this big investment at 833. It's a marquee office and restaurant property, a beautiful building right at the lakefront. So keep your eye on what happens at this space. It's a beautiful restaurant. They have another location in Madison as well. We'll be watching what it means not only for downtown dining and that prominent building on Milwaukee's lakefront, but also are there any workers impacted and who might be caught in the middle of this scenario?